You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
I'm Sue Smith.
And we love scams. Guys, we love scams. We love you. And today...
Piping hot.
We love Britney.
We love it.
We're just in it. Like, look, Sue and I have our lives. We could get into it, but we're just going to get right to this episode.
Yes. I mean, I know... You are all sick of hearing me talk about pregnancy. I'm sick of being pregnant. We don't need to talk about that anymore.
I'm still at my parents' house with a sprained ankle. I still have a child, thank God.
We're all in quarantine. That's where we're at.
We're hanging by a thread. But you know who's also hanging by a thread?
Britney Spears.
Thank God. How relatable. But guys, we have an amazing guest. We have Clark Moore. He is an actor, a writer, and he's best known for his role of Ethan in the film Love, Simon, and AJ on the last season of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. He's a delight,
and he's also the host of Soul Bomb, his own podcast, which you can get wherever you get your podcasts. Please welcome
Clark Moore!
Thank you for joining us.
Welcome.
Happy to be here. What a treat. Honestly, I feel like I scammed my way onto this show.
And who's to say you didn't? It's fine. Most people do, and we scam you. It's all a part of the wonderful mix of scammers and con artists that we are now friends with.
We scam each other.
So, Clark, you host a podcast called Soul Bomb.
I do. Yeah, it's a podcast about healing and identity. It's interview-based. And
I know. Sue and I are like, please.
I know. What is that?
Wait, can we make this your episode? Can you heal us? Can we change the scam? Make it you healing us, and then we'll talk about other stuff.
It's funny because it's one of those things that's rooted in my organic existence. You know, I sort of have these conversations constantly. How do you deal with trauma? How do you deal with anxiety? How do you process stress? These were things I've been talking about for years. If you can't tell, I'm a Pisces. It's sort of the space that I live in. I'm like, hi, hello, how are you? Tell me all of your hopes and dreams and darkest fears.
Great.
And so it just happened to be perfectly suited for this moment where we're all going through a collective anxiety. And we kind of talk to all kinds of people, actors, writers, thought leaders, healers, politicians, literally anyone. And the idea isn't that we have answers. It's more that we're asking questions. And, you know, everyone's process to healing is their own journey. We're just sort of like comparing those experiences.
Now, Clark, do you think that as a country, we're all going to have collective PTSD from 2020?
Yeah, honestly, yes.
Yeah.
I think like yes. I approach it with this sort of like tongue-in-cheek self-awareness. Like, I'm very aware that the wellness space is problematic in many ways. And that also we have a tendency as millennials maybe, or just like as a culture, to use terms like trigger or trauma or stress or anxiety maybe a little bit too generously, too frequently.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, sort of like, is cutting your finger trauma? I guess it is, you know, like it on a scale, sure, on a spectrum, it's on there. But I think with regard to this specific moment, I think this trauma is what we've been living through day to day for these past 4 years. And that's sort of what I mean about this collective anxiety. It existed before that too, but especially during this time, if you feel particularly attacked by this administration, then I think, you know, I remember having that feeling in November of 2016, like, how am I going to get through the next 4 years? It felt like forever.
Completely, yeah.
And I 100%. Think the way that I got through it, the way that a lot of us did, was just sort of dissociate in the day-to-day and just sort of like keeping your eyes on these big milestones of like the 2018 election and then now the 2020.
Right.
But like, how does that chronic stress affect us? How are we processing that? And are we paying attention to it? You know, a lot of the things that we're seeing now of people screaming and yelling about masks in the streets and in grocery stores, it's like, that's not about the mask. That's about the stress and the anxiety and the pressure of these past couple 4 years, and specifically of this moment, this pandemic, you know, feeling out of control and feeling scared. And it's so much easier to focus on like, oh, well, I'm on this side and you're on that side. And it's not about that. It's not about my mental health. It's about the politics of the moment or whatever. But it's all wrapped up in the same thing. And I hope that we can at least acknowledge that whatever happens next week. Or I guess this will come out after that has happened, maybe.
It'll come out after. And Clark, everyone's going to be listening to your like comforting voice already.
Your voice is so soothing.
Can we cuddle? Where are you?
Yeah.
My son just learned the word cozy. And I'm like, guys, Clark is cozy. Clark is the epitome of cozy. Okay.
Thank you for saying that. I will say for anyone out there listening, I appreciate that if you feel the same way. I also, just like everyone else in the world, hate the sound of my voice. So if you hate your own voice, you know, it's okay.
It could be cozy to somebody else.
Sure.
You never know.
Yeah. My voice, I learned a long time ago, my voice is not for me to experience. It's for you. And so I'm glad that it does not give me a soothing experience, but I'm glad it provides one for you.
Yes.
One man's trash is another man's cozy.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
That's amazing.
Speaking of coziness, you brought us a nice, delectable, bite-sized scam that we can just sink our teeth into and forget about the world, right?
Clark, I've wanted to do this scam for so long. I've been intimidated because there's so many layers to it.
Yes.
And I thank you for bringing this to our attention.
I mean, really, we have to thank Sue because, as she knows, 2 hours ago, I didn't have a scam. That's part of my scam.
You know what? Who's to say? Who's to say?
Who's to say?
Speaking of stress, I had it on my list of things to do. And then day after day, I just kept finding it was the thing that I was kicking down the road. You know,
it's like, your homework.
Yes,
nobody does homework.
I know. I need to do it. I need to get to it. And I just couldn't come up with one. And then today, my producer for my show texted me and was like, hey, by the way, what's your scam? Because they're asking. And I was like, oh, no, I have to come up with one. So Sue and I talked. We had some ideas. We went through a couple of different ones. And then we landed on the scam of all scams, #FreeBritney.
Free Britney.
Wow.
And
let's talk.
Deep, it's layered, it's intense, it's really dark. It's also happening live. This is ongoing, which makes it really complicated. And then there's this sort of this relationship that we have with it, being that we experienced the first part of it firsthand 10 years ago as, you know, Britney fans in like the height of her career. And to sort of have and what I started to see in reading this, I mean, there are countless articles, LA Times, New York Times, Forbes, The Atlantic, BBC, The Cut. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, specifically writing about the movement itself, #FreeBritney. But there are all these different factions, and everyone feels differently about it, and they all have different information. And when you read the different articles, the dates change and the specifics on those dates change.
Oh, that's interesting.
So
there's not really a through factual line that you can follow.
No,
it sounds like.
It's really hard. And I'm going to do my best to present.
Go for it.
This idea. So basically, for those who aren't aware, I have a little bit a timeline of events. So in January of 2008, this is the height of her fame. Britney is in all of the tabloids. This is, you'll remember, when she's married to Kevin Federline. She is getting out of the car, and there's the like famous vag shot in the paparazzi photos. And then, of course, she shaves her head, and she takes an umbrella to a car and smashes the window.
Which I feel like is like a symbol of, I don't know what it means to be like all this pressure of the media and fame and everything. Like that's like an iconic moment and an iconic photo.
It was glorious.
Yes.
Also because Britney was I'm speaking for like millennials, 30 plus. Britney was like our pop star. Like she got famous when we were children. And I feel like she was really the first one. And then we all know Christina came after and Jessica came after and like everybody else. But Britney was like the first baby that came famous that could have been one of us, like any of us, singer, dancer, performer, as children, wishing we were more. She was on the Mickey Mouse Club. I wasn't, you know, like all those things that I'm completely comparing myself to. But I feel like we all felt deeply with Britney. She was this untouchable, huge star to us of this, like, she was the epitome of the rich and famous. And then to see her with this shaved head smashing a car window. Also, guys, that's also relatable. I felt like she was also me. I mean, there was something so human about it.
Deep. Yeah.
Ridiculous. And for anybody who is nice and adorably too young to know this, that like that really ricocheted. Everyone was talking about it. It was the biggest thing, period. It was the biggest thing happening ever.
And I think it also sort of at the moment made that was the beginning of my introspection and thought about, exactly as you're saying, the what we take from these people who give us so much as celebrities, as pop stars, and being complicit, both sort of hating the fact that the media was dragging her and taking her down, but also being complicit in the fact that we wanted more. We loved to watch her burn out.
The fascination behind it.
Absolutely. And sort of feeling like we were separate from that rather than acknowledging the fact that we were actually playing into it. We were creating the market for it. You know, they were chasing her around because they knew we wanted to see it and they would make money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So in January of 2008, she gets, because of all of this stuff, she gets committed to a hospital psychiatric ward against her will. And she's placed under a conservatorship. And for anyone who doesn't know, that the definition of a conservatorship is created by the appointment of a conservator, also sometimes called a guardian. And a conservator is a person or entity appointed by a court to manage the property, daily affairs, and financial affairs of another person, usually someone who is incompetent by reason of a physical or mental infirmity, or because of age. And so basically this idea being that she is sick, she has a mental illness or some sort of, I'm being really careful in the way I say this because mm-hmm. this is also a big question mark. No mm-hmm. one knows what she has.
Mm-hmm.
They refuse to talk about it explicitly. And this is all part of the court cases being sealed as well. So it's like, does she have, was it a breakdown? Was it bipolar? Was it schizophrenia? You know, like, was it a mental illness? Was it
a pre-existing condition?
Exactly.
Or an episode, really?
Yeah.
Or is she not mentally unwell at all and she was just really stressed and people were...
had a bad moment.
Yes, like exactly doing the thing we wanted to do, which is smash the car window with the umbrella.
And
you
being
know?
Human. And then is that...
And shave our heads. Yeah.
Yes, right. Yes.
And is that deemed mental illness?
Yes.
Like, is that like pushing somebody over the edge, then calling... Yeah, it's so complicated. Yes.
It's so complicated, and it's also tied into this history of labeling women crazy because mm-hmm. they're difficult or because they're having natural reactions to the bullshit they're being put through by the men around them and the society that they're living in. I mean, her body has been objectified since she was 14 years old.
Her entire life, her voice,
everything about her has been, you know, manipulated, molded. She has been commodified.
Her relationships.
Yes.
She has a naturally, which is with her voice, she has a naturally a deep singing voice. And then the record company wanted her to have this baby voice and sing higher. So that's how.
And they auto-tuned it. Yeah.
Yes. And the narrative that they take her through of the sassy schoolgirl through right. to sort of like
the Lolita sex forward. Kitten.
Yeah, I have a, I'm a slave for you. I have a, you know, I have a python around my neck. And so there's all this conversation about misogyny that's wrapped up in this too, which also all of this together makes for a really great hurricane and sort of storm of conspiracy theories, because there are countless questions, but there are no answers.
Before we get to that, I just want to know, what does a conservatorship mean? Like, how much control does that person have over the person's life?
Complete control. Oh, so really? As far as I can understand, I mean, I should also say I am not an expert in this. I have just done a deep dive over the past couple of hours. The drama also surrounds the people who are on this committee, because it changes over the course of this decade. So in the beginning, it's primarily her father and I believe a lawyer that he chose, or someone that she didn't have a choice in being in that role. And then at one point, her brother comes in and then leaves, and her mother comes in and another woman comes in. And then
it's an open door policy for her.
Yeah. I mean, it's constantly these people coming and going. And unfortunately, she doesn't have control over who those people are, which is part of where the Free Britney comes in, is like, what are her thoughts on it? So January 2008, she's checked into this psychiatric ward. November of 2008, for the record, the MTV special on Britney Spears comes out. It was sort of the culmination of all this drama. All of the press happens. She goes away for a little bit. They do this documentary. It comes out. And that is the last time that she publicly speaks about the conservatorship. And at the time, she sort of says, this is from The Atlantic. She says, Spears has settled into what she called a boring new life of constant monitoring by doctors and lawyers. Even when you go to jail, she says, you know there's the time when you're going to get out. But in the documentary, she says, in this situation, it's never ending. And so there's this feeling of like, she also, though, in it says something to the effect of, it's fine and there's going to be a good book, a good mysterious book that she will one day write in the future.
That's just a line that crazy people say.
Right, right.
To cope. And I wrote a book, so I know. Guys, check it out.
Dangerous movies.
Dangerous movies, guys. Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Please
wait. Was this the last time she spoke about the conservatorship? Is that what you said?
Yes. Exactly. Wow. Exactly. And that was the last time that she explicitly talks about it. And she says, you know, a mix of things. That being a negative one, she also says that things are okay. They're boring. You know, things are boring. Life is fine. Life is normal. And so there's this feeling of like, okay, obviously she probably doesn't like this conservatorship, but she seems to be happy enough. She seems to be on the mend, so maybe things are okay.
And she has two kids at this point, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's with also Kevin. A thing that playing into this, that I don't know if there's any stuff on this, Clark, but I think that's also a huge factor that they use to pull her in, because if she's a bad mother and right. they can frame it as that way, then they can get more control of her as well. And right. I think Kevin exactly. asked for custody of the children too.
Right. That sounds right. Okay. So then in 2008, because of this, I think sort of in response, I saw 2008 and 2009. So I'm thinking it's in response to this November documentary. A website, a fan site called Breathe Heavy, which was founded by someone named Jordan Miller, launches the original Free Britney campaign. So basically, this is like the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. And basically what happens is they see this documentary, they see that she has these feelings about it, and then they're like, immediately that sounds to me like a person who's unhappy or who's trapped in a situation they don't want to be in.
They know
hashtag
Britney.
Free Britney. Right. Mm-hmm. Huge the stands. Fans know. Mm-hmm. They go hard. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. That ends up being really bad for them. And the people who are on the conservatorship respond negatively. And, you know, someone in the camp, basically the site is almost shut down and they're like, all these lawsuits are being threatened or whatever. So the campaign kind of dies down. Fast forward to May 4th, 2016, when the New York Times launches an investigation, or they release the findings of their investigation, and the piece is titled, "Is Britney Spears Ready to Stand on Her Own?" Oof. And so this is the beginnings of the resurgence that we find, because they're digging in, they're having trouble. There's not a lot, truthfully, that comes up. They basically surmised, according to the Atlantic, that, quote, "the conservatorship has become an accepted fact of life, not a cage, but a protective bubble that allows her to worry about her true passions, which are her music and, as you said, her children." Mm-hmm. So basically they dig in and they try to find the answer, but there is none. It seems like she's fine. It seems like she's happy, or at least that's the party line. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So fast forward to November 2nd, 2017. This podcast called Britney's Gram launches, and it's hosted by comedians Tess Barker and Barbara Gray. And it's literally just digging into Britney's Instagram.
Good for them.
Sort of like, you know, what we were all doing when Britney launched mm-hmm. her Instagram, where we were kind of looking and like, oh, that's very interesting. And the dancing she does and the workouts she does.
Yeah.
The,
it's bonkers. Yeah.
That's
it's
not a real wild. Shape of a body. No, that doesn't right, make sense.
Right, exactly. And her you know, her flowers that she paints and the Venetian palace that she lives in somewhere in Calabasas or somewhere.
And like her miniature, she makes like miniature clay artwork and stuff. And she burned down her gym.
That's coming up. Yes, that's yes. coming up. Okay. So basically these two women are looking at her Instagram. They're just following it. They're laughing. They're, you know, engaging with the content in the way we all did. I guess Tess Barker has a background in investigative journalism. And in November 2008, they basically, I think probably because of this New York Times article as well, start realizing that there are these rumblings around the relationship to the management of the conservatorship. Are you looking at her Instagram?
Guys, I'm looking at her Instagram. She has this one picture in like a blue like shirt, and she just replays it over and over again. She has, for years, she'll just put the same picture of herself.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I think that's part of it too, is that anyone who's watching her relationship to her Instagram sort of has these questions of, is this person well? We were talking about how we were complicit in the monetization and commodification of her body and her career. She sort of feels a little bit stunted. You know, there's a little bit of that like 16-year-old still there, which makes sense for sure. And such when she became super famous and her life changed completely. Mm-hmm. So November 2018, Tess Barker goes to a court case in which a co-conservator on, so as you said, there's a committee, there's a bunch of people who are on this conservatorship. One of them is requesting a raise for his job, which is managing the conservatorship. So the people who are managing it are also getting paid from the money that is Britney's
That's
money.
So shady.
And they're deciding how much money?
Yes, they're deciding everything. Okay. She, That's according so to the conservatorship, up. She's not even allowed to drive a car, which is partially connected to the quote unquote breakdown of 2018.
The umbrella.
And, mm-hmm, and all of that stuff.
The cars fought back and won. Sorry.
A win for the car community.
Yeah.
So basically the reason why I mentioned that one is because they're on to something. They realize something is happening. They're doing all of this investigation. And then April 16th, 2019, Britney's Gram releases a special emergency episode, which is based on a tape that they've received from a person who allegedly is a paralegal working on the case for Britney's conservatorship. And he's, I guess, he's a fan of the pod. He's listening and hearing that they're sort of talking and hinting at this, or that they might be working on something. And he calls to say, "You're right on the money. This is messed up."
Oh, and like, my gosh.
Details all of the things that are happening in a call Whoa. That you can listen to on the Britney Spears episode.
Guys, oh we're linking God. It in our comments. We're
how
linking.
Have
we're
I
linking.
Never heard of this podcast?
How is this not like my bedtime routine and story just to listen?
I know. And so that's when shit gets crazy. So basically, they dig into hashtag Free Britney. They bring it back up because it's been sort of circling in this in the Britney space for a decade now. Overnight, it becomes viral. They launched the, they put the episode up at night. They said to avoid, you know, getting an email being like, take it down. They wanted it to be as wide as possible.
Oh, nice.
It goes viral. It takes off. April 17th, Eve, the rapper, wears a shirt with the hashtag Free Britney on the official Instagram of The Talk. April 18th, Luann De Lesseps posts a video of her just strutting down a hallway, completely random, and the caption is hashtag Free Britney, both on the video and the caption of the post itself.
I'm getting chills.
Luann De Lesseps is like, I'll make it me, but also for Britney, but
yes,
me.
Yes, yes, but also me.
But also me. Look at how great I look, guys.
And it just keeps spiraling until April 22nd, 2019, when the fans take to the streets and there's a protest outside of the West Hollywood City Hall.
I didn't know it went to the streets.
In West Hollywood, California. I don't know why there. I don't know. I mean, I guess the
it feels
gays,
right, though.
Sure.
It feels
there's
right.
There's a Venn diagram overlap it, for sure.
I get it. Yeah.
Britney fans.
But this is where it gets crazy. April 23rd, 2019, in response to all of this, Britney posts on Instagram that she's okay and that she's doing well and that everything's fine.
That was not
I'm
her.
Great.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I don't believe
and
it.
So this is the conspiracy of it all is she controlling the Instagram? Is it that she really did post that and she wants to show the people that she's actually okay, even though she's working towards changing this conservatorship? Is, you know, are they on to something and she's saying like, you're on to something, but don't worry, I'm okay, but keep going. Like no one knows. It's so cryptic. And it, and obviously this just sort of like feeds the conspiracy theories. And then in, and because of this podcast episode, there are other podcasts that are launched in the same space, digging into the legal work. There's a change.org petition that has 259,000 signatures trying to raise money to give her money for her own lawyer since she doesn't have access to her own money, obviously.
Oh my gosh. But is that a sort of thing that any money comes to her is automatically taken by the conservatorship? Like that's kind of a slippery slope because we don't know exactly how it will get to her.
Exactly. And I also think that sort of illustrates this larger point, which is there are sort of two things happening at once. There's the true, you know, fandom and the true worry about the ethics of this type of legal arrangement and relationship, especially in the context of women having autonomy in their own lives. You know, mm-hmm. one of the things that keeps coming up in terms of her fighting to gain ownership, to regain ownership of her life, is that the conservatorship lasts through 2021 on the document, but, you know, she's in the past couple of years, she's had all these really successful world tours. She had her Las Vegas residency. Basically, she's been performing at, I mean, there's no way you could argue that a person who is performing at this level, at this capacity constantly, is also incapable of making their own decisions or showing, I mean, they're like doing the job that we expect them to do, which is a job which requires a performance at a high level that nobody else can do. And she's doing it fine. She's doing it well. How could she?
They're going to take credit for it, though. That's the thing.
No, like, they want her to keep working so that she can pay their salaries.
And right. like, they're going yeah. to say, we made all these artistic decisions. We made all these final decisions. Like, it's so crazy because one of the songs that came out, Britney, because she grew up in this setting, sort of similar to Michael Jackson, that they just had an ear and they just got what would be an incredible hit song. And so there was a song that came out and Britney was like, that's going to be a hit. And it was the one that, it wasn't Womanizer. It was the one that came out, the one that was such a huge hit that the second she heard the beginning of it, she's like, that's it. Like she can call out a hit song.
Oh, before. I heard someone talking about this too.
Yes, Toxic. It was Toxic. When she heard Toxic, and that was like one of the resurgence of her career, that was like when she was coming back, she said the minute she heard Toxic, she was like, that's like, she just could feel it in her bones because she had been performing for so many years. It was this like, you can't really describe it, you can't really put it down on paper, you can't really diagnose it. She just knew it would be it. And she's talked about that, and I don't think anybody has asked or given her any credit about her life experience and yeah. how she's been able to have such a strong career. Like that's not what anyone's checking in on, which is so unfortunate.
They don't care. And I think that sort of, at least from a fan perspective, it seems like, it seems so clear that these people, especially in the leadership role, just want, or in the conservatorship role, just want to make as much money as possible. But then now, again, because we don't have the context and we don't have any answers and we don't truly know what she's dealing with, so we can't contextualize it of like, oh, right, a person with this type of mental disorder needs this amount of supervision. We have no idea. So it could be completely that, or it could be completely like, oh, actually, she does need full-time supervision because of this certain type. We just have no idea.
And she's not allowed to give an interview or speak to anybody. She's completely muted. And I did see that while this was happening, when it was most recently the Free Britney came out via TikTok, when it got like the huge new resurgence, her sister, I believe, is trying to get some sort of custody of her and was working towards a course to get a custody.
Do we know how many people are on the committee, on her conservatorship committee?
I don't know the total number now. And as I said, it keeps going, they keep changing. And so right after this sort of spring dust up of 2019, in the fall of 2019, I guess she has a brother named, I'm confused because I know she has a sister named Jamie Lynn.
Yes.
But does she also have a brother named Jamie?
Named like James or Jamie. Yeah. And her dad's name is Jamie as well.
Okay. Okay. So there are a lot of Jamies.
Soup's creepy. Soup's creeps.
Sure. So her brother, Jamie, in the fall of 2019, according to The Atlantic, leaves the conservative role.
Oh, so Brian Spears is her brother. Jamie is her dad.
Okay. Okay. So then maybe Brian left. Someone, forgive me, look at the Atlantic article.
I think Jamie got sick and he had to like take off from it.
Okay. Yes. He cited medical reasons.
Yeah.
And this woman named Jody Montgomery steps in and is now in the role.
Who the hell's Jody?
Who's Jody?
Literally who indeed. She becomes Britney's healthcare manager.
Why?
And there's probably, I'm sure there's something I'm missing here. Forgive me. There has to be some sort of reason why she was chosen. I want to say that she was connected to
A family friend, I'm sure. Aunt Jody, real fun at parties.
She took AP Psych in high school, and so she feels...
She's qualified, yeah.
She loves her Merlot. She's like a real... She can really turn a tail. Yeah.
Fully.
Who knows?
So she steps in, and then...
Okay, so Kate, our producer, chimed in to say there's a lot of family friends that are suddenly working for Britney and working, you know, to control Britney. I do think it was sort of like a family project, and this town feels like they're getting it all from her.
Now, it sounds like they're all fighting with each other. It doesn't seem like there's one clear side. It seems like they're all fighting with each other.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Okay.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Jamie steps down, Jody takes over, and then Jody, how does it go with Jody?
It goes so well, in fact, that later Brittany actually petitions to have Jody be the primary conservator person in favor of her father, who is still in that role. Mm-hmm. And then September 18th, 2019, the LA Times, you know, following the New York Times, releases their findings from a 3-month investigation that they did. And again, the paper could find, quote, the paper could find no independent evidence that Spears was being harmed by the arrangement. So nobody knows. There's still no full evidence. And then in April of 2020, Brittany burns down her gym, as we talked about.
Oh, honey.
So not right in the middle of this fight about her competence and, like, is she responsible? Is she capable of, you know, the misogynist argument, like, can she care for her children? You know, is she a good mother? All of these things that are really just being thrown on her because she's a woman. Then she burns down her gym and it's like, ooh, I don't know.
Yikes, honey.
Look, I don't know. Maybe it's an accident.
But why did she put that on her Instagram? Like, she's so careful about the shit she puts on there. Why would she even advertise that?
It's a great question.
Well, okay, guys, look, I'll tell you, sometimes you love candles and sometimes you love a high kick, you know, when you're doing your Zumba at home. You can't control your legs. I mean, she has professional legs. They have a mind of their own.
Totally.
They can't stop. She's toxic, you might say.
One might say,
and that might burn down a gym. Who's to say? Who knows?
Who's to say?
I bet that she has the password to her Instagram, and it's other people posting for her. And then she has, like, this, like, wild hair in the middle of the night, and it's like, do-do-do, and, like, puts out something.
Add it to the list of conspiracies. Which, by the way, include a conspiracy that many people believe, which is that she was killed and replaced by a clone.
No.
That is a real conspiracy that people believe.
I love that.
You know, and it's real to them, and that's what matters.
It's real to them. So then in July of 2020, her mother requests to be put on the conservatorship. So again, you see all these different factions sort of moving in, unclear what the motives are, unclear whose side anyone's on. And then August 17th, Brittany officially requests for her father to no longer be in charge, and she wants instead, as I mentioned, Jody Montgomery and a financial firm to manage the conservatorship, since the court continues to say no. In all these court cases, she asks for them to release it. She provides all these documents to show that she is fit, you know, and of sound mind and body, whatever, and they keep saying no, it's going to last through 2021. So she says, okay, well, can I at least have people who I like or who I trust.
Or an official company, not just like buddies.
Exactly, in charge of this. And of course, once again, on August 19th, the fans show up and they protest outside of the courthouse on trial day, saying Free Britney.
Wow.
West Hollywood again?
No, this one I think was downtown. I don't think this was West Hollywood. This one, they actually showed up to the courthouse.
Wow. Mm.
And then September 2nd, Brittany requests, September 2nd of 2020, so just like a month, 2 months ago, Brittany requests for the conservatorship case to be opened to the public.
Good.
And this is the other crazy part, because remember I said the last time that she officially acknowledged the movement or anything about the conservatorship was in 2008. Brittany posts, or no, through her lawyer in this document and in the press release that they, I guess, that he gives, her lawyer says, quote, Brittany welcomes and appreciates the informed support of her many fans.
Wow.
Yes. So they're right.
Wow.
They are right.
So she's speaking to them.
Informed support.
That's how they
their
interpret
detective
it.
Detective work.
Mm-hmm. She's speaking to them.
But no Once word about again, a book. Disappointed.
Where's
disappointed,
the book?
Brittany. Yeah. Come on.
I would read that book in a heartbeat.
I would read it in a second.
But here's the thing. Since I know this is scam, wow.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Once again, it's coming. And of course, this is because of the legality of the conservatorship. She's not allowed to speak on her own behalf. But once again, it's not coming directly from her. It's coming right. from a representative of her.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he's the representative that in theory she chose and that she likes, the conspiracy theorist in me is like, until I hear you say it straight to camera with a newspaper of the date and showing
your
surroundings
messy eyeliner.
That you're not under duress. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you're really the Britney we know.
Truly, like, I don't know. And I see a world in which conspiracy theorists could really continue to be like, is this a nod to us? Is this a confirmation? Or is this more smoke and mirrors? Is this, you know, like, who knows?
Yeah, there was a moment, I think it was like August, September, where every time Britney posted something on Instagram, people would be dissecting it on TikTok saying, oh, she's wearing a yellow shirt. I said in my last comment, wear a yellow shirt if you need help, like that mm-hmm, kind of thing, like mm-hmm, all these layered conspiracies. And I don't know if that's still happening, but you know what? I want to hear from the Britney's mouth. I want to hear it straight from Britney's mouth.
We want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. And she does a lot of like these controlled things. It's really interesting. Like everybody was saying, like, why is she doing these fashion walks? Why are these like really fast videos? Yeah. Because it had to be confined to in her home, her own clothing, like her own, like it's very weird. Like, I don't think anybody's doing her hair and makeup. I don't think anybody is coming in or out of that house. She's very much gray gardening right. it. And it does look very skeptical. And the Instagrams are bizarre, and the Instagrams don't relate to anything else going on in the world because she is completely isolated.
Mm-hmm. And but then she has like boyfriends though. Like, who are the boyfriends?
Right.
I know.
Do they have to be approved? Like, I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? And so, sort of rounding it out, because now we're up to the present. Everyone basically in response to this comes to her aid. The ACLU pledges support.
Wow, ACLU.
With Britney, basically saying that some version of people who are disabled are capable of living their own lives and having autonomy over their bodies and their choices. Her brother stands in solidarity with her, reportedly saying that she's always found the conservatorship frustrating. And there's sort of, you know, these secondary sources again saying like she has never liked this. She's dealt with it. She's gotten through it, but she hasn't supported it. It wasn't a choice. And then September 10th, Paris Hilton on Andy Cohen's Serious show basically goes again talking about the conservatorship and how she should have control of her own body and all of that kind of stuff. So this is all happening live. And you know, those are the events. That's the timeline leading us from the original 2008 to today. But for the context of this show, I really feel like there are a number of scams happening at the same time here, right? There's this question of, is Britney's dad scamming her? Is Britney's dad just, you know, cashing checks, capitalizing off of a moment that
yes.
may have even started in a really authentic way of sort of being fearful of his daughter's health and safety? But is he now scamming her for money? That's a question mark. Please don't sue me. And then another scam, which is, you know, is Britney's Instagram, whoever's running it, a scam in and of itself? Is it trying
for
to show
sure.
us that she's mentally unfit?
Right.
Is it trying to show us that she's actually mentally stable
and
well?
Is it even her?
Is it even her?
Who's doing it? Who
yes.
knows?
Yes,
yeah,
is it
a clone?
Is it
wow, that was
all
some
these
like high-tech planning. Like, they planned the moment she was born. They're like, this is going to be a celebrity. We're going to get the cloning started early. Let's get into it, guys.
But maybe she's like held captive and somebody only lets her out just to make
yes.
Instagram videos. Like,
I think
that could be it too.
Let her do. They're like, you can't do anything but run around in this hallway with this section of clothing.
Right.
And good luck, child. Like, I think it's so controlling. But it said that her sister was secretly named the trustee of her fortune. So that's really nice.
Yeah.
Right.
In 2018,
So the only statement we have from her is she welcomes the informed opinions of her fans. And that's it. Oh,
I know, gotta talk to this girl. And then it's a series of Instagram posts. That it's that through her lawyer when filing.
I like that. I like it through a lawyer. Yeah. That's official. Yes.
And I trust then it. And then a bunch of Instagram posts that say she's okay, she's happy, she's healthy, she's fine.
But no one's actually fine. It's COVID.
No.
No one's fine.
I'm not fine. Yeah.
No, but no.
That's a
fine.
Red
no.
flag right there.
Totally. And then, of course, as we said in the beginning, there's the overall scam, which is, or the question, which is hashtag Free Britney, the movement in and of itself, a scam? Is it based on fact? And is it based in a true problem and an issue and a movement to help her? Or is it just a conspiracy theory?
Is it just, you're saying, is the Free Britney movement right. like a QAnon, yes, exactly. basically?
I like the movement. Okay. I've always thought that, like, fans, you know, whether they get it or not, look into lyrics, look into their artists, and, like, kind of become these obsessed experts on whomever these celebrities are. And I do trust that these fans, they're so upset. They feel such an injustice. If you look at any of their million of TikTok or YouTube videos, like, they're so hurting for her in a sense that I think there's, like, they're picking up on, like, this human, there's something not right. And I think everybody's spidey sense is kind of off.
Yes. Mm. Yes. But I also have to say there is an element of it in terms of it not being right. I hear it and I feel it and I sense it. I sense that energy when I see it. But I also wonder how much of that for me is reconciling the human, the fact that Britney is a person who ages and who grows and who is not the 16-year-old, oops, I did it again, girl on the, you know, kneeling on the
pink.
Yeah, with her head to the side and her arms out.
So sexual.
She's such an iconic figure for us. And the snapshot of that period of her life is an iconic period for us. It's also pre-internet in the way that we know it today. She's mostly a pre-social media celebrity.
Yeah.
And so then the question also comes up, how much of that offness or not quite rightness is the fact that our entire relationship with her was managed through the press and the media.
Yeah, maybe it was already there.
Yes.
Maybe she was already
highly
off.
Curated. Yeah, we weren't getting selfie videos of her in 2005.
You're right.
Being like, oh, this is who I am. This is my quirky, weird-ass personality.
Yeah, maybe she's always been a weirdo.
Well, it's like...
Maybe.
Well, it's like Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton's been playing a character for the last 20 years, you know? So what if Britney is also doing the same and playing this character and we have no idea who she really is? I believe
that. Or if
that
was the character then and this is the real now, and the fact that it's the two are in contrast with each other, and the fact that the new one now is so readily accessible in a way that the previous one never was...
Right.
I think it's all of these things combined and the baseline sexism and misogyny of her aging and us being angry that she's not 16 anymore.
Well, I think also I have a theory that when celebrities and specifically children celebrities become famous, whatever age that is when they are told by a bunch of adults, you're doing it right. So then they're going to continue. There's no need for them to grow and develop and change unless they have like a failure. But if they're successful, like Taylor Swift sort of stayed 14 forever and like RIP, all the sad stuff with Michael Jackson, like he stayed very young forever because when you're successful at 10, 11, 12, they're like, this is it. It's perfect now. We love everything you do. You don't go through any of that adolescence, any of that growth of that we all have had with making mistakes, screwing up, not being desired or interesting.
Did you ever listen to the podcast?
Yeah.
By Richard Simmons. Is this like a she wants to be left alone
no,
in
she
her
wants
like
the attention.
You know Calabasas
she wants
estate?
The attention.
Or does she want to be left alone and she's fine, or is she being held captive and someone's only letting her out to make Instagram posts?
We don't know.
Oh my God.
We don't know because she can't speak.
I think she likes the fans. I think there's an element of like she has had so much of her life being validated by fans. And I think that is a big, huge part of, and And what I remember from young Britney, like when she broke up with Justin Timberlake, like she kind of went through this like huge meltdown because people turned against her because she apparently cheated on Justin Timberlake, and this glow left her. And I remember at that time she was really having a hard time dealing with it and the approval. And from a young age, she wanted everybody to clap and cheer for her. Like, I think that isn't gone. And I think she's probably searching for that high in her own way.
Right. And to expand on your theory, Kate, the idea also here is that the reason why that happens when we experience extreme change or fame in that way, what I've read, and it's funny that I would use this word after having just said that it's overused, but basically that type of fame and that exponential growth really quickly is experienced as a trauma.
So what happens is
that they're stunted in that period because that is the last time that they felt safe and that they felt comfortable and that the world was simple. That everything after that exponential point in the growth curve is tainted by the fame as well. There's no way to parse out fully. You'll never really know. Is this because
the reality,
I earned it, or because I'm famous, or, you know, is this real, or is this the fame, you know? And so for her, that to happen for her at such an early age, and that's what I mean about it being off too. It's like, that's part of what you're picking up on is when she's free, when she's carefree and just like fun, loving, living life, she's a 12-year-old, 13-year-old in a dance class again.
Yes.
And that's why she dances around like a 12-year-old, 13-year-old girl in her living room, in her house.
And that was successful to her. Like, that was when it made sense in her brain, like the equation checked out. And
it was safe and it was pure.
Right. And also other adults were saying, we love you doing this. You're doing a good job. Like, there's that feeling of when you're that young, you are being led by adults, whether it be a teacher, your parents, like a record producer in her case. Like, she had these leaders. And so she knew what she was doing. All her eggs were in the basket. Like, she was doing everything she had to do correctly and being a good student in a sense.
Right.
And that's where she would want to go back to.
I don't know if it's just my hormones, but it makes me so sad.
It's sad.
So
sad. It is pretty sad.
Cry it out, girl.
I wish that we could hear from her directly and see what she's like
that's
really
going through.
That's
the tragedy of this whole thing. And that's why I think it's such a great idea that she's petitioning to have the court documents opened to the public.
Yes.
Because this is, you know, yet another way that we control women and take their power away from them. I mean, the fact that all of the judges who have been adjudicating this, as far as I'm aware, are men.
Of course. You know? Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Mm.
Of course.
Gross.
That's really wild. And it's just such a like cognitive dissonance between like, this person is not mentally incapacitated in that they can do world tours and make you tons of money, and yet you have to control every facet
Both
of their
can't
life.
Be true.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, no. And also, there could be space for, like, I'm somebody who still needs to be medicated. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can be a great mom, a great wife, but if I don't have Prozac, it's not so great. So you can be someone that is capable of things but needs some assistance, but it doesn't have to be all or nothing, and it doesn't have to be that a bunch of men are running my life for me because I've had a couple bad years out of college, you know, and from now on.
I think that's the other thing that I love about this deep dive into this movement, because it spans a period of time where I would argue our relationship to mental health also hit that exponential growth curve. The way that we talk about mental health today is fundamentally different than the way we did in 2008. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was also kind of like funny, right? She's crazy. She's lost her mind was the narrative. And isn't it so hilarious that she shaved
it away,
her head?
Kind of. It like, it dismisses her right away.
100%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now
honestly,
we would never.
If this was happening today to her, same series of events, but it's happening in 2018 or 19 instead of 2008 and 2009, I think the decision that they would reach would be fundamentally different. Because I think the way that we would have been contextualizing this quote unquote breakdown in public conversation in the media would have been much more rooted in psychological fact as opposed to sensationalism and voyeurism.
Yeah, and hopefully.
That was a very dark time in media, like the 2004 through 2009.
It was.
For celebrities, everybody was constantly attacking them. Too.
I mean, it's that was the time where most people were punching paparazzi, if you can remember.
Yes.
Like, paparazzis were like, well, when did Princess Diana die? Like, I think that was the time.
That was 96, I think.
Really?
Something like that.
She died in 96?
Yes. Yes.
Well, it only occurred to me in the 2000s. Right. That was like when I addressed that she died.
But, you know, there's a theory that that has to do with Epstein.
Really?
So we don't know that. Yeah.
Sue brings everything really back to Epstein. Oh, my God.
Sure do. Well, because of Prince Andrew, so there's a theory that she knew too much about Prince Andrew and that Epstein Island and everything.
Oh,
so
my God. Real
thing yes, I've heard that conspiracy.
We don't know.
I didn't realize it was tied to Andrew, but I have heard that she was, killed by the family, by the firm. As they say.
She knew too much.
Gosh.
Mm-hmm. And didn't they make her out to be crazy as well? I don't know.
And gold digging.
Women are crazy.
A slut. And you know, like all of the things any woman in the public eye has been called, they threw at her. Yeah.
Wow. This is incredible.
Oh my gosh.
But why are you such a good feminist? Like, you're such a good feminist. This is great.
Clark, you're a hero, and you did this in a couple of hours. I mean,
I'm so impressed. This is wonderful.
Did you always finish your college, like, projects, like, right before a deadline? Because you're good at it.
Yeah, I did.
So did I.
I
did it too. Yeah.
I was the person who was, like, in the 24-hour part of the library, literally falling asleep 100%. While I was writing. And I would, it was this weird thing where I would fall asleep and I would wake up and realize like 5 to 10 minutes had passed.
Yes.
And I had typed like a whole page.
Yes.
And it was coherent. Yes. Like I had fully blacked out.
It's
and was just like
flowing out of you. Your brain's like, look, you don't need to be around for this.
And you probably got an A.
Sometimes I got A's. Sometimes.
You need to write a book. Got an A. That's the story behind this. Forget Brittany. Clark needs one for us.
Hey, I will ghostwrite Brittany's book happily.
Yes, you will. How do we get a message to Brittany and all of her supporters and who knows who are in her wagon that Clark needs to be her ghostwriter?
To the stands, to the Brittany army.
Get it
flood
out there.
Flood those DMs.
Get it.
Clark, thank you so
thank you.
Much. I can't. This was awesome.
So lovely. And Clark, we're obsessed with you. And how can other people find you?
Oh, thank you. I'm at Mr. Clark Moore on all platforms. It's going to be a hard left turn for you because I have no Brittany content on any of my socials.
You know what?
But
that's okay. And there's always a time to start.
Sure. Sure.
Why not now?
And the podcast is called Soul Bomb. And it is
everywhere.
Available
wherever you get your podcasts,
right?
As they say.
Cool.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
This was so fabulous.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye, scammers. Keep scamming.
Bye, scammer. You're the best.
Wow.
Guys.
Wow.
If you have any insider knowledge about Brittany.
Or opinions or feelings.
Yes.
That was all we had here.
Please write to us at scamwellpodcast@gmail.com. We got to hear what your theories are.
Yes.
And if you have a direct connection to Brittany and you want to let us interview her, please.
Yes. Brittany and you're listening, you can clap out a Morse code or something on our Hot Tip Hotline. Because
we will be there.
Phone call. We will figure it out. If you want to only wear a yellow shirt because that seems to work and tell us you're in danger, girl, shout out to us.
Get in touch.
Brittany, if you need to call us, our Hot Tip Hotline is 347-509-9414. And if you call and leave a message, I'll give you my personal phone number, girl.
Of course.
I don't mind.
And Brittany, if you need to listen to our back episodes or buy any merch or support our Patreon, go to scamwellpodcast.com. Okay?
And Brittany, if you want to go to our Instagram and seek some of our cool stuff, we're at scamwellpodcast on Instagram or TikTok, we're at scamwellpodcast. Brittany, if you want a really good DIY documentary that's actually a TV show that I call documentary, it's called Grand Designs. It's on Netflix.
Kate, how's the mantle coming? Brittany, guys, you gotta hear Brittany. About Kate's mantle.
Brittany, I wanted a mantle and it might be ruining my relationship. Alan told me it really upsets him and I still want it. Brittany.
He's upset by a mantle?
He's upset. He says he doesn't know where it's going to go and we might have to throw away a bunch of chairs and then our guests who come over, there's not going to be anywhere for them to sit. But Brittany, as you know, it's quarantine. No one has guests. You know.
And Brittany, we would love your design opinion.
Brittany, we would love it. And also, if you know any deals, Brittany, like I'm trying to get a good deal on this. There's a fireplace that's worth $500 and it's an antique from London because you know I'm like an Anglophile. And but I tried to get it for $100 and the guy didn't respond. Brittany, has that ever happened? Have people not responded when you try to lowball them?
Help us help you.
Brittany, we love you.
We'll see you next week.
And we'll see you next
week. See you next week, Brittany.
See you later, Brittany. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.